Brandon of Parallel Music Publishing and board member for the Nashville Association of Independent Music Publishers. Thanks for listening to the Nashville Pubcast. This episode of the Nashville Pubcast, we have Leslie DePiro, GM of Tree Vibes Music. We discuss a delicate relationship between publishers and their writers. Well, here we are with one of my favorite friends and favorite publishers, one who I look up to the most, Miss Leslie DePiro.
Back at you, well, my brother.
You know, I'm so excited to have you come and join me and talk about the role of a publisher against the role and relationship with their writers, which is such a vital thing, but I don't think people talk about it so much, you know? So I guess my simple way to start it off is, as a publisher, what do you think your primary job is?
I guess to nurture brilliance.
So how do you find said brilliance?
It's relative, I guess, isn't it? What I get, your brilliance is different than my brilliance. Or
true. So, very guttural.
Yeah. Feeling. Well, something that you determine is brilliant, you nurture it. I mean, a seed can be brilliant.
Now, I know you, but I'm going to ask the question. Are you a hands-on publisher? Do you really listen to work tapes and critique and develop and grow young writers when you sign them?
Well, that's what I... That was, you know, the history of even prior to coming to Tree Vibes. That's where my passion is to be with someone who is never. No one knows the person's name. They've never had a song recorded. You listen to their songs. You tweak them out. It's having that. You know, you build that trust with someone. And that was, you know, 15 years prior to knowing I would marry my iconic husband, who we listened to. You know, songs of his, and just kind of asking, like, why did you say that and you didn't say this, or why did you pick that word, or why did the storyline go that way, and just keep trying to punch holes in it and keep massaging it to make sure that once it's mastered or it's on the radio, no one can come back to you and say, why didn't you question that line? I don't really like, you know, it's like once it's done, it's done.
Right.
So it's not to be overcritical, just to make sure.
That infamous hit songs aren't written, they're rewritten. Really question,
yes.
And walk through them and
yes.
Develop them. Do you keep Bob up late at night asking him questions about songs?
I really don't listen to as many of his songs as I should. I don't know his catalog. I'm a terrible wife. But if he has something that he's excited about, we'll definitely listen to it. And I'm constantly listening to all of our writer songs.
And I know you listen to, like myself, you listen to so many writers coming in and out. Some you sign, some you dump, some you mentor. When do you know it's time to make that commitment when you go, oh, I need to work with this writer?
Yeah, you lose sleep. I mean, you lost sleep?
Yes.
Thinking someone else is going to get that person? I mean, actually 2 weeks on the job at Tree Vibes, I heard Daniel Ross's songs and heard... he was looking around. His deal wasn't finalized. He had been working with the guys, and it appeared we might lose him. So instead of losing him, we just joined forces with Big Machine, which has been amazing. So it was, hi, Daniel, you don't know me. In 48 hours, we're going to be doing business for the next hopeful 20 years. So let's get to know each other, talk to each other for 20 minutes like we know each other for 20 years, because we got to get down to it, because you are amazing and we want you to be here and the guys want you to be here. It was during Fanfare. I climbed on board Fanfare, heard Daniel's music, heard we might lose him, and Mike Molinar and I just got that deal done. That was just the first week. I went, okay, here we go. Woo!
Brilliant move, by the way, because I'd heard that things weren't progressing. I was going to almost jump in on that deal, because he was definitely
mm-hmm.
brilliant. I love that you brought up that fact that you look at a relationship with a writer is a really long-term deal. I always compare it, and my writers sometimes think I'm weird, as a marriage. When we're doing this, I'm not looking at this short-term. I'm looking, we're going to be together for a long time. That's the goal, right?
Brutally honest, even on another level, because we've been doing this for so long, you and I, that we don't have as much time for the 12-year relationships I used to have. So now I just say, look, I don't know what I'm doing. I just know what not to do. And you're doing that. So stop doing that and do it this way. And I already know, and stop it. I'm not going to buy you lunch.
No more cocktails for you. You're out the door.
Yes.
Thank you. Do you have any secrets to how you continue to manage writers' expectations? I know that's a tough question.
I don't know if we ever do. Do we?
I try.
I try to keep everyone reasonably happy. Try to keep a nice gauge on what that is and not try to create false expectations. But definitely, it's the conversations. It's the really sitting down and having strategy conversations with follow-up and executing. And when people feel safe that they're being heard, they see action, you share emails, you share real information, and you have the sushi-grade honesty needed, then I think you're okay.
Absolutely. Truth-telling.
Total.
Which can sometimes be hard. I find I have a couch in my office for a reason, and a lot of therapy goes on in there.
We're all unlicensed therapists in this business, for sure.
We're all slightly paranoid and super insecure.
Completely. It's a madhouse.
I like to remind my writers, there's days I go home and lay in the fetal position with my thumb in my mouth, crying, wondering, what am I doing?
I've been doing this a while.
We talked about it briefly. Do you... critique songs on the daily? Do you go through all the songs your writers turn in and have them rewrite a lot?
I just call it the feel meter. If a song makes me feel something, then I'll listen to it again. And then, what it make me feel? And then let's really get down to the bones of it to see if we can turn the feel meter onto 10. Is it really sad? Is it going to give you the lump in your throat because it was amazing? Is it so happy? Just like, my gosh, I am so dancing in my office right now. You know, just the feel meter, I would say.
In the past, what I recall, like, we had to do actual sessions most of the time. So the writers all had to come in and play
about?
You all those work tapes. And so you would listen to them. And that would be the time you go, that one's good, tweak that one, get that one ready for the session. But now, as with all the track guys and the studios that guys are doing, they're turning in finished songs. And I've actually had pushback more of when I said, why don't you tweak that song or why don't you rewrite that song? And sometimes they're not as open to it. They just keep moving. Have you had that issue?
Well, if they don't love the song, they don't want to spend the 4 hours doing the track. And I'm not going to argue with them unless we get a call from a co-publisher who says, did you hear this? I'm fired up about it. So-and-so's looking for exactly this type of thing. If they present an argument, if they don't, I'm not going to handcuff someone to, you know, their room to make them finish a song they're not passionate about. So a lot of times songs remain unfinished. And what's really interesting is a lot of the times I'm sure you've run into this, the co-writers say, well, we don't have anything tangible of the song without the track guy. They're like, wait, you didn't even play guitar or sing a work tape to yourself? Like, what? So trying to get everyone in that space to do that. Again, like we've always done on Music Row, but these millennials,
you have brought up a pretty amazing point, because I've had this issue with at least 7 songs recently where I don't have a copy of the song, but I got to turn it in to get it on their quota and stuff.
Yeah, and I don't remember. The track guy has it. No. Well, don't leave the room without your song and your phone.
Now I tell them to record at least the board tape, and I said that'll work. Even if I have to turn that in, I've turned it in. That's an interesting point you bring up. I forget. It's really changed. The past 5 years have been dramatic.
I know. I mean, 5 years ago when we opened when I worked at AAM, no one knew what a track person was or a top liner.
Break up with a writer?
Oh, I think, you know, immediately, and it's as you would in any relationship. It's a matter of you if you're in denial or not. Yeah. And if you're sushi grade honest, immediately you're just, hey, what happened here? This isn't working. Do you want out early? I've never been one to be nervous or apprehensive about letting someone out of their deal early if they're not happy.
You know, I don't know if I've had that moment come up. I've had the moments come up where I know that we've probably hit a creative road. That's two things happen. It's either financial, where you just have tried everything and you've not gotten where you want and you get in a hole.
I bet you had someone who says, I'm an artist. You need to pitch me as an artist.
There's
I'm
that.
An artist. Well, if you don't believe me as an artist and I don't want to write here, then you let him go.
Yeah. I had one that knew that I wasn't necessarily believe in his artist career, but believed in his songwriting, and he got himself a record deal, and he still writes for me, and it's pretty crazy. So prove me wrong. I'll be wrong all the time like that.
I love to be wrong. I love being wrong. But it's right. If you're just not seeing things, you know, there have been other writers that will say, you remember, you passed on me 4 years ago. You see what you missed? I went, well, no, you should thank me. Because other people wanted you, but I wasn't hearing what they heard, and I would have been in the way of your destiny. I could have just signed you because I was panicked other people wanted you. So,
have you ever done one of those deals where you jumped in on the hype and signed somebody and then
never.
Went,
oh. Never.
I have.
Well, it's okay. That's okay. No, never have. Well, it's supposed to take me really, really long to get in a really cozy spot, I think, because I just would never do that.
As a publisher, do you find yourself, do you date writers or mentor them, it might be a better word, before you sign them, or do you know immediately? Are you a really quick to it kind of person?
I would say, well, at Tree Vibes now, you know, I feel just with you as well, we're creating just immediate access. So the dating process has to be like, you know, we need to be participating in some part of this copyright, also to protect it if your publishing is open or you're not going to write with any of our writers, which I've never done that before, but I do that now because of our immediate access to the guys, to Ray Lynn, to Kanan, to taking the bus out and having everyone, you know, be exposed to so many artists in one bus trip. You can absolutely ignite someone's career in a Tree Vibes bus trip. I've seen it happen.
That's actually a very good point. That's a unique thing of what you guys do in your company, for sure. I know that there's been another company, indie company, that has tried, but obviously the access with the guys and everything has really been beneficial.
And the one reason I have to say the bus works, and we had another a major publisher ask us, what do you think, why does your bus work? And this particular publishing company's bus didn't work. And we have Adam Romaine. We call him Romy the Homie. And Romy's out there, and he is amazing. He's like your dream creative director on the bus.
That's fantastic.
He is a big reason why that's working.
So you have somebody on point, making sure the writes are happening, make sure they aren't slacking off, because not that writers or anything would slack off or anything, but he's make sure the rooms are going and people have what they need. Kind of tour manager, I guess, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, creative director, tour manager. He'll know as soon as someone walks in, that person looks like he'd like that person. Oh, I heard the way that person spoke to him. Nah, we're not going to have them write. All those intuitive things you can't teach someone, he has them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Secret weapon.
What do you think would you refer to as the hardest part of what you do as a publisher?
I would probably managing people's feelings.
Yeah, the expectations, the feelings.
It is very touchy-feely feelings, hard. You know, a lot of that.
Have you made a writer cry before?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've cried with them, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a crier.
Huh? I'm a man. I, too, have cried with my writers.
Yes,
it's not
absolutely.
The easiest thing to do, right? You know, not even on a breakup. Just we've lost holds that we both were devastated about and
absolutely.
Cuts. And we recently had 100%er that was on a record and not make the record. That's a tough one.
Yeah. And there's families and there's dreams. And it's, you have to, okay, something bigger is coming. And you just dust yourself off. But, yeah, it's not easy, as we know.
Leslie, what do you think makes you do what you do and have this particular role? Because we know it's definitely a special thing we do as publishers.
And I would say it's the same, hopefully, same for you, is that you believe it's your calling, period. It's just your calling in life. And for the 20—this will be my 24th year on Music Row— that even on the years or months, days— moments that nothing was going my way, I've always felt extremely grateful. There hasn't been one day where I've not been grateful to be on Music Row as a publisher.
Same. Mm-hmm. It's definitely you have to be a nurturer. There's a certain genetic makeup you have to be able to do this role and do it right, because it is draining. But you give yourself, you're a servant to your writers. You really are giving
everything.
And to
the gifts that they were given.
Yeah.
And you have to love people in spite of themselves. because it's the music is so much bigger than the person. It's bigger than all of us.
Typically beautifully broken is what I say. They don't come to this profession usually because it's usually there's some road they get here. And it's I respect that. I've always had such a respect for that. Mostly because I can't write songs too. I really suck. So I'm in awe of them when they do it. So be a good cheerleader. Got to be a good cheerleader in doing what we do. Thanks for listening to the Nashville AIMP Pubcast. For more information, check out AIMP.org or follow us at Nashville AIMP on Instagram. The Nashville AIMP would like to give a shout out to our sponsors, Jamber and Sound Exchange. Jamber wants to know if you're looking for an easier way to capture song splits at the point of creation and organizing your catalog. Jamber is our podcast sponsor, and they are offering listeners a first look at their songwriter and publisher apps that allow songwriters to collaborate when inspiration strikes. Go to jamber.com/AIMP to sign up today. Sound Exchange develops business solutions for the entire music industry. They collect and distribute royalties on behalf of more than 155,000 recording artists, master right owners, and music publishers. Sound Exchange have paid out more than $5 billion in royalties. SX Works serves the licensing and administration needs of music publishers around the world and operates CMRRA, which represents music publishers and administers mechanical rights for the majority of songs recorded, sold, and broadcast in Canada. We appreciate you listening to the Nashville Pubcast. Stay tuned for an all-new episode next week.